Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
Hello.
Somebody's ringing my bell.
Hello. It's your co-host, Candace. Hi, how are you?
Hey, baby. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, just chillaxing. You know, enjoying the Sunday evening, getting ready for our show tonight. I'm excited about it. It's been a long week.
Why are you so excited about the show?
Well, I mean, I'm excited to talk to your guests and talk to the people in Chicago. I'm in Miami, and you know, I like your people. I like what they have to say. I like the agenda. I like what you know, the initiative. I like talking to you, quite frankly, and I like this show.
That's why I'm excited about it.
I think if you ask me personally, I think it's a good show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thought you were in Atlanta doing a commercial.
You know what? It was finished. Yeah, it's over with. We took care of it this week. It's been filmed and completed.
Okay.
Now it's in the editing room. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So,
hey, listen, we got a lineup tonight that is unbelievable. You know, Candace, we've been together now since August, and our show is just growing. Our hour is not enough for us anymore. Okay, I'm having some people coming on. I'm having people talking to me that have a lot to say about what's going on. First thing I want to do is a shout out to Helen. That's my sister. I want to do a shout out to Helen. I want to do a shout out to Hulk, the music man. You know, there's a lot of people that are just asking me to shout and highlight them. You know what I'm saying? And then we got a lineup that's unbelievable. What's the weather like there in Miami, though?
You know what? Today it was a little hotter than usual. 85. You know, considering the time of the year we're in, but it's about 85. What's the temperature in Chicago?
Oh, it's raining, baby. It's been a drizzly day all day today. Listen, did you ever hear back from the Oprah Winfrey people?
Huh?
Did you ever hear back from the Oprah Winfrey people on your audition?
You know what, Oprah? If you're listening, contact me, please. I've been auditioning for Oprah for quite some time. I'm with Talent Network Atlanta, Catalyst Talent Network. My agent is Randall. I'm on IMDb. Holla at me, and I would love to work with you. There you go.
Okay.
We're gonna send
that message out to her. Listen, what I want to say to everybody that's my guest on my show tonight. If you dial in and you're listening in, now I want you to punch 1 because 1 will allow you to speak on the show. So I'm looking at for my big dog there. Lindell, are you there? Mm-hmm. Mr. Hogan.
Yes, sir.
That's my guy right there. Okay, hang on right there, my mellow. Steve Bell, are you there? Steve Bell, are you there, punch one? Okay, Dr. Washington, are you there, punch one?
Yeah, I'm already in. Good evening, how y'all doing?
Okay, Dr. Washington is there. Ms. Latifah, are you there?
Ms. Latifah?
Yes, I am.
Latifah. Yes, I am. Welcome back to the show. It's an honor.
Okay. Well, listen, you know, I want to start the conversation off. I had an opportunity to talk to West. Some of you all may know him, James West. He's a movie producer and the whole nine yards out there in San Diego, as a matter of fact. And he put me on the phone with a lot of, not a lot, but two hip-hop moguls. And I had a chance to talk to them. I'm going to show you how old I am. They wanted to listen in to my show. And so I told them, I said, well, get a pencil and write the number down. They laughed like hell. They want to know what the hell is a pencil. And that's got to show you how old I is, okay? And, man, we don't use pencils no more, you know. But I have Mr. Houghton on the show today because we're going to talk about this music and what's going on with our music and how right now we're losing our artists. We're losing our new James Browns and we're losing our new Marvin Gaye's to this violence. Our young boys, they got all the talent in the world. I'm constantly listening to them with some of the songs and the lyrics that they write, and they're making all this money, but they're feuding with one another. And I want you, Lindell, tell me something about that, Mr. Horton. What's going on with that you think?
Yes.
Mr. Holden?
Yes.
Okay.
Am I unmuted?
No, you've been unmuted.
All right.
No, you're talking.
Welcome to the show. You're live.
Okay, man. Thank you. My whole look on the whole situation is it's like a food does in a food drive. You know, your situation around you is bad, and they looking at this a way out. You know, it's entertainment to hear or see that they talking about killing each other, and actually following through and doing it. So it's like it become a sport to them.
It became a sport to them, you think? Explain to me, what is drill music? It originated in Chicago. What is drill music?
Yeah, I raised one of the guys that actually started it.
And who was that?
His name is Pac-Man. He's deceased now.
Okay.
He comes 64 from the other, 64 from Ingleside.
64 from Ingleside.
They started 64 from the other, 64 from Ingleside. They started the drill music. Some of everybody been down there with them. Him, King Louis, and a few other guys. Then came the Chief Keefs and the Derps and the whole 300 movement. They all started off in the house together, though. Mainly all of them were together.
So what happened that they want to separate or become angry with one another? How do we handle that?
What ended up happening was hungry. It's all about eating. The fast track to eating. You know you got kids that's out here can barely get a bag of potato chips or barely be able to buy clothes. You know, the jobs, the resources, they're not there, they're not where they need to be. So they looking at this rap as a quick way out. So they gonna disrespect each other and do whatever they can to create an audience. And it turned bad.
Okay, now what do you do actually down there with the organization that you're working with?
We do violence prevention.
Okay.
I mean,
and
we don't do the police job. We try to stop violence on the front end. And what I mean by the front end, we try to catch it before it starts.
Okay. Are the young guys listening to you?
Oh, yeah, they going to listen to me because I'm a part of them. I'm where they come from.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You have to look like them and you have to talk like them to relate with them. You know what I'm saying? And Are you getting any kind of funding from the city? Because if I'm correct, the area that you're working in, actually crime has gone down in that area, if I'm familiar.
Correct.
And that's through you guys' efforts, right?
Yeah. We, you know, the thing is, you know, that thing that, you remember that old quote, but that old saying they used to say, it takes a village.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have to bring that back. Because it takes a village, yeah. The crime stats has dropped. I mean, it's a proven fact. So it will work. It's just that, you know, a lot of people write the youth off. You know, they prejudge them. And they looking for a way out, or they looking for directions. So you can't prejudge them. You gotta, like you said, you gotta understand how they walk and how they talk.
Right. Now, the area that you're working in is where?
I'm working in the Woodlawn area. I'm doing work with Project Hood. That's where we are. We the Violence Impact Team. And we are partners with Metropolitan, where they say MPC is Metropolitan Family Services. We working with a press with those guys and Cred.
Mm-hmm.
And we working through the whole Woodlawn to bring the crime rate down.
Okay. And you're saying that most of these boys at one time were all friends with one another?
Correct.
Okay, even the boy Vaughn?
Yeah, rest in peace, Vaughn, yeah.
And then we got Duck?
Yeah.
All of them come out the same camp per se.
Yeah, they all once either went to school together, or they all hung with each other. Mm-hmm. So they had different interests with each other, as far as being friends and being cool. So it's just the way the money changed hands, and everybody just started choosing sides.
Well, let me ask you this here. That concert they had just recently with Jeezy and Gucci, where they made up, you think that could be the start of something for everybody involved?
Yeah, it's definitely a start because, I mean, the whole message, they did it for the culture.
Right.
I definitely applaud them. It was a big boy move. We gotta keep pushing the trend. You understand what I'm saying? That's a trend that we need to bring back in. See, with the youth, they honor the dead and not the living.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me ask you this here. What could me or some of my people, these OGs like myself, what can we do to help you at this point? What is it you would need from us?
Stop judging. And open your mind and come help, you know, boots to the ground. It's going to take everybody boots to the ground. You know, our program manager, he's High Smith. He's an old time OG himself. And then our pastor Brooks, he for the Woodlawn area, so crazy, but it seemed like, you know, everybody don't want to line up together. We already proven that we can stop the crime. We already proven that we can drop the stats. We can stop the killings. It's just that it takes the whole village to catch on. And then we need to reach out and find more resources for these kids all through the city of Chicago.
Okay. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite you back next month. And give you see if you give us another report on how we're doing. You know, my thing here is that I got this radio station that I have a platform to speak on, and anybody that's trying to do anything, y'all holler at me, and I'll give you a minute on this air to holler at our young people, whoever, whatever you're doing. You know, take advantage of the fact that I got this radio station that I'm working with. And, man, if something come up that the people need to know about, man, you holler at me right out the door.
Oh, yeah, you already know that. That's no problem. I want to say one more thing before I leave, though. I need everybody to really look at the situation and what's going on, man. We're not losing just anybody or any black child. We losing our most brightest, our most talented, our most strongest to galvanize everybody together. So we just not losing no anybody. We losing people that can actually change the future and change the look of what's going on in these neighborhoods. So we have to chime in all together, because that's my message. It's gonna take a village.
Okay. All right. Well, you got my microphone whenever you're ready, my brother. Okay. I hope some of these entertainers out there that are listening, that y'all say, hey, man, how can I get up with him and see what I can do to help? Okay.
Most definitely.
All right. Thanks a lot, my brother. What do you think about that, Candace?
I think that was real talk. That was real politicking with a K right there. That was politicking with a K. By any means necessary, we got to,
See, it's one thing to talk the talk. There's another to walk the walk. And I know for a fact that he's out there right in the middle of it. I even know his background and everything. And it's going to take guys like him to bring about a change. Doc Washington, let me holler at you for a minute. Doc?
Doc?
Doc Wall.
Welcome to the show.
Okay. Okay, hold on there. Dr. Washington, I want to go to Doc Wald. I got two doctors on my show today. So I want to go to Doc Wald. Doc Wald,
yes,
do me a favor and tell everybody who you are and what you are. What do you do?
Okay. I was born and raised in Chicago, graduated Horace Mann Elementary, Chicago Vocational High School.
Cavaliers.
University.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
That's right, Cavaliers in the house. I teach Chicago King College of Law. I served as Harold Washington's top assistant. I was Jesse Jackson's national political director. I was John Kerry's main surrogate when he ran for president. And I've run for mayor. And I was the second black to run for governor of Illinois.
Okay. And what are you presently doing, may I ask?
I have my own company. And
I
play a lot of golf.
Oh, okay, I saw that.
That's right. Yeah, my company is Axnack, A-C-K-S-N-A-K. And what we do is branding. We do advertising and branding.
Is that right? Oh, then you need to be on our team.
Absolutely. Hell
yeah.
I'm on your team. Well, you have to do it.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. Absolutely.
And then I do legal consulting for a lot of A-list celebrities in Hollywood. I do a lot of their contracts and deal memos, as well as folks in Atlanta, South Africa, all over the world. So those are things that I do.
Well, let me say this, Doc. They putting together a TV program for me. So we're shooting a pilot December 10th. So you got to be in on that.
Let me know. Whatever you need me to do, I'm in.
Doc, let me ask you, what did you think about what he just spoke about as far as the young people are concerned?
I love it. It's right online. Violence interruption, crisis intervention, those things are critical and important. Right now, we're developing a roadmap for black male preservation, restoration, and participation. And those are amongst the issues that we want people to help us address. Tell you how it works. We've laid the infrastructure out there. This is equivalent to the Me Too movement. This is the Black Men Too movement. The reason is because we celebrate the fact that black women are doing extremely well in this day and age. With Kamala Harris becoming vice president, there's a lot of talk about women and girls and what this means and the role models little girls have and how they're breaking glass ceilings. But there's no discussion about black men. So it's not a competition. We also have to do our part. Right now, the black man is the weakest link in America. There is no question about it. Due to our own undoing, things like that he was just talking about, where we're fighting each other constantly, looking for attention. So partly our own doing. But on the other hand, it's also the system and the way the system is stacked up against us. You know, it's a very oppressive system. Black men aren't welcome most places. If you go downtown on a business day and look around, you're not going to see black men in suits. You'll see a few black men who work in the mailroom, black men who, you know, do the copying and cleaning and those kinds of things, but black men executives are not really welcome. Most people are intimidated by black men. It's not that we can't hold our own. It's just that they're intimidated by us. We're physically dominating when it comes to sports, and they think that carries over into real life, but that's not the case. So what we're doing is developing a black male agenda. There are a lot of agendas out here. This is specifically a black male agenda. And the goal is to address the issues that are important to us so that we can take advantage of the money, jobs, and contracts. Over the next 4 years, the federal, state, local, county, and municipal governments are going to spend trillions of dollars. You can easily say $83 trillion. The question is, how much of it do we get? And we won't get anything if we don't make a very serious, timely demand. So that's what we're putting together with the help of brothers all across the country. So the brother that was just speaking about crisis intervention, I want him to go to our website. It's blackmen2.com, BlackMenToo.com, and just sign up. And we will let him come in as a founding member. Anybody, any black man out here at this stage can come in as founding member.
I love it.
We need your help. We need your help putting together this agenda. I don't want to take credit for this. This is not about me. So we've got brothers that are coming in as leaders in a lot of different areas, and I can just give you a quick rundown of some of those areas.
Okay, hold it right there, Doc.
Everything that you can think of. Okay, go right ahead.
Doc, hold it right there. Hold it right there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to hold you longer on the show. Okay, Doc Washington, where you at, Doc?
Okay.
Hey, I'm right here. How y'all doing? Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
Good evening.
Okay, I got so many doctors. I am, you know what, I got to be the luckiest man in the world. I got to be.
Yeah,
I know so many people. Okay, listen. I was sounding stuffed up, and Doc came in the restaurant, and I said, "You sound stuffed up." Next thing I know, he's coming with a brand new vaporizer for me. I mean, this is one hell of a kind of guy. Doc, tell him who you are, what's your background, the whole nine yards.
Hey, good evening. How you doing? I'm Dr. Michael Washington. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago. Went to Kenwood Academy. Went to Chicago State University. Then I got my doctorate degree in pharmacy from Xavier of New Orleans. Currently, I'm working as a pharmacist for independent called Cornerstone. It's over east. It's just my pleasure to be on your show, bro. You know, you're not lucky, bro. You're blessed because you always looking out for everybody else. And just like the first caller was saying, it takes a village. So we all got to work together. And when I saw you, you know, with that congestion, I knew you needed a cool mist. Humidify. It wasn't a vaporizer. You need cool mist in the wintertime to add more and moisture to the air so you can breathe better, bro, and keep doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Doc, let me ask you this, because we're forming a coalition as we speak, just like when I told Doc Walls, and he said, I'm on your team already. And yes, he is. So you're on the team, too. You are a pharmacist. You are everything. And then, but I want you to also, Mr. Holden, about what are these, like when I was out here, we smoked weed and everything like that, but we didn't get off on these, what we call white boy drugs. What kind of drugs are these young people using today?
Well, number one, you got the opioid epidemic, which has taken over, and then you got heroin and you got crack cocaine and all these other illicit drugs. Piggybacking off what the first caller was saying, that a lot of these young men, they don't have options. That's what the problem is. If you don't have options, you end up doing something strange for some change. And if you don't, and when your stomach is hungry, you don't care what you do, because there's no consequences because you have no options. Just like Doc Wall was saying in the first caller, we all need to get together. And I wrote down that site. It's blackmentoo.com. So I'll be chiming in on that as well. So it's a matter of lack of options, and then these young men, you know, when you get depressed, you know, you smoke and you drink and you do things to escape reality. So that's really, as James Brown said, hey, you escaping reality. That's what drugs really does, allow you not to focus on your problems and allow you to get away for a little while. But then you keep coming back and you're chasing that high, and then that's how a lot of people get hooked on drugs. Because you never get that same high that you first got when you first do drugs. So you're chasing that high over and over again. The next thing you know, you're out there bad.
Okay, now let's go to something else. What's with this G5 or 5G? What do you know about that, Doc?
You talking about in terms of the cable networks and the telephone, the 5G?
Yeah, well, it seems like people are talking about it controls your behavior and stuff. And that
well,
the government
I'm
is...
Not...
What they're talking about is that the government is putting up these towers with these 5G or whatever it is, and it's controlling our mental behavior. You know, that it's letting out electronic waves in the air. Is there anything like that possible?
I believe it's possible because, I mean, radiation waves and music waves, all those are all in the airway, just like we're talking over the phone. So we know that there's ability to put electronic signals out there. Now, I'm not privy to know exactly whether those are being positive or negative. I know that I saw an article where they said a lot of people were getting sick, and, like, on the side of, like, if they put up that tower where the shield faces, the trees on that side become brown. So I'm sure it has some negative effect on the plant life, for sure. I've seen that. I've seen the videos about that, but I'm not sure what negative effect that has on us as people. But
okay.
I'll look into that, and I'll get back with you on that.
Okay, Ms. Lateef, I want to speak with you for a moment. Doc, hold on. I want both of y'all to hold on because we got something going here. Ms. Lateef?
Yes.
How are you, dear?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you quite well. Let me say this here. Tell them who you are. And then I want to say something about you, but tell everybody who you are.
Well, I'm Naima Lateef, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We're on 7 days a week. I got a fantastic team of hosts. And our goal, of course, is to be global transformers. We've got an international audience, and our some of our hosts are from outside of the country, outside of the city. And we have a chance to touch the hearts of people every day with information that uplifts and inspires and informs. And our goal is to transform the world from the way it is to the way it should be. So we have hosts that are informative, enlightening, and able to assist us all in our process of raising our consciousness. And I'm also the executive producer of the Media Connection TV show, and this is a daily news show. We are out and about every day across the city gathering information and keeping people informed. And I also run the network On Air, which stands for Online Network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, and it is a guide to the global enlightening and uplifting shows that are available all across the internet that are able to provide alternative news and information. So I manage that site as well. And I'm author of several books, one of them, which was a groundbreaking book on the effects of slavery on Black people, called Slavery, the African-American Psychic Trauma. And from that, of course, we produced a stage play that was at DuSable Museum several years ago, A Hip-Hop Journey with the Ancestors, which we turned into a movie that was shown at the 87th Street Theater. And it was all about reaching young people and helping them see that today's hip-hop artists are really just like the old griots that told the story to music and helped us to learn. So the only difference is that today's hip-hop artists need to have the knowledge that would make them understand the great gift that they have from their ancestors so that they could be the teachers and inspirers. So that's what we
Let me interrupt you right there. As you heard, Doc Walls spoke about the fact that the organization that he has consisting of Black men. What does that say to you when they say Black men and your organization is the Female Solution? What does that say to you?
Well, one of the things that we've initiated once a month, the second Wednesday of every month, we have a men's only forum, and it's been so powerful lately. My co-host on Wednesdays, where I host the show, a brother named Kareem Hamid out of St. Louis, he basically hosts a roundtable discussion of men, and they deal with some really deep subjects, such as how they feel about fatherhood and relationships and their own personal experiences. And the women on that day, we step back. We don't talk. We don't participate. We just listen, and we don't interfere mm-hmm. with their conversation so that we can learn and respect their experiences and understand how we have an impact on the lives of the sons that we raise. So I believe that one of the major things that has to happen is the bringing back of men into the home where they have either been forced out through economics or snatched out through to law enforcement or driven out because of bad relationships and disharmony. But either way, the children have suffered, and we know that 85% of those doing time in prison are those who come from fatherless homes. So
is that right? You know, I just recently found out because Dorothy Brown had the legislation passed, and she told me about it. I did not know that if you owe child support, they take your driver's license from you.
Yeah.
That's counterproductive. You know, but here's my next question here. We have, when you're talking about these females, because Doc made a very good point, and I'm constantly speaking about it. We have more black female elected officials in the world right here in Chicago. Anytime you got the state's attorney, the mayor, the president, this here, the school board, all these women, I've never seen them in the room together. How can we wield this kind of power, yet I see no power? We got a bunch of titles, but where's the power come in? Who's giving out those contracts that Doc is talking about? Okay.
Well, that's a critical thing also. And I'm grateful that we have so many women that are recognized for their skills and their abilities. And that, I think, is going to be encouraging to a lot of young girls in making decisions in their lives. But I think also sometimes there's difficulty with women giving men a break, so to speak. And I'm not saying that men don't have the capacity to do the work, but we do have situations where black men need to get contracts so that they can support their families and keep their family together, and that's been an issue. And
okay.
Sometimes women can be sensitive to that, and sometimes women can be hostile to black men based on their experiences. You know.
Okay, well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break real quick. Do me a favor, we're going to take a break real quick because I want you to answer some questions for Doc Walls. Doc Walls, I want you to ask her some questions. Doc Washington, I want you to ask her some questions. So it's all about rebuilding our community. And if it starts with us on this radio show, then that's where it starts. Candace, give me a break for heaven's sake. We're going to be right back.
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges due to wigs, weaves, or protective styles? Then the Good to Grow Edge Resuscitator is for you. Good to Grow's complete hair growth system strengthens the hair from the follicle, stops breakage, promotes thicker, fuller, and healthier looking hair. Good to Grow helps repair existing damage and protects against new damage from styling. Good to Grow works underneath wigs and weaves to nourish and soothe dry and itchy scalp. Good to Grow's all-natural ingredients for men, women, children, relaxed or naturals, all hair types and styles. Get Good to Grow today at goodtogrow.com. That's good, the number 2, GRO.com.
Well, all right. Hi, Candace. We're ringing that bell. Candace, is there any questions you want to ask? If you want to ask any of our panelists some questions right now, because these people are something else, what would you like to ask them?
You know, I wanted more information about from the first doc, his the name of his company again, and if he could, say that again out so our listeners can know exactly.
Okay, tomorrow I'll send you all his information. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll tell
her
real quickly. My company is AckSnack, AckSnack, and as I said, we do branding, but also do legal consulting for a lot of your A-list celebrities. and the name of the organization for the movement is BlackMen2.com. That's the Black Man Movement for a Black Male Agenda for the Preservation, Restoration, and Participation of Black Men.
Okay, Candace, let him know that your organization.
What do they think about reparations? And how would that help the community?
Thank you. That's really one of the most. Thank you. That's really one of the most important issues. I think there are four major issues that we have to deal with. But let's talk about reparations real quickly. And I'm going to be brief because I know that there are a lot of other people that have a lot to say. Naima, good to hear you out here. And I need to get back on your radio show soon. Anyway, let's talk about reparations. The key to reparations is figuring out who is entitled to reparations, because it is the descendants of chattel slaves in America that would be entitled to reparations from the government. But then on the other hand, you have a demand for reparations from corporations that benefited from slavery. And anybody who was a descendant of any kind of slavery can benefit from that. Now, the question is, do we want cash? Do we want real estate? Do we want tax breaks? What do we want? Well, a 90-year-old woman can't use more education. A 90-year-old woman would like to have something tangible that she can pass on to her heirs when she dies. So we're talking about immediate solutions. So for me, the most important thing is cash money and real estate. Now, a lot of other people have a lot of different prescriptions for what is required to restore us, but they're not mutually exclusive. Some people may opt for one thing over another, and I think it depends upon the formula that they put together. So reparations is really critical. Let me just go through two more quick things, and I won't even go into the fourth. But another thing that we want to make sure we do is fight for a Works Progress Administration type program 2021. Remember Works Progress Administration back in 1935, from 1935 to 1943, they hired you to do whatever it is you did. If you were a painter, they allowed you to paint. If you were a sculptor, they allowed you to sculpt. If you were a writer, they allowed you to write. And they paid you to do those things. If you were strong with your back, you helped build the roads, curbs, gutters, sewers, and sidewalks. We need that. Yang has a phenomenal concept, which is getting money in people's hands, but I don't want a program that just pays us to sit around and vegetate and become couch potatoes and candidates for high blood pressure, heart disease, and diabetes. Give us money to build a business, or give us money to do whatever it is we do so we can enrich our family and have something to pass along. Now, the next thing that I want to mention, and this is the last one real quick, is we want to fight for an African-American, African nations free trade agreement. So this would be an agreement under the WTO, the World Trade Organization, where black men and women get an opportunity to go over to Africa and help them develop their economic programs as well as their products and services. But we have protection from the federal government for our intellectual property. So this would be major. We want things that build an infrastructure for us so that we have something to pass along to our children and our children's children.
Candace.
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Tell them about the reparations meeting that we're having with world leaders coming up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would like to invite you on the show. We're having a reparations chapter called Healing America with Reparations, and it's going to be the Illinois reparations chapter. And I would like to invite you on the show as one of our panelists. It's every Sunday.
Count me in.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So I will get with you after the show. Everyone on this panel, Ms. Naomi, the other Doc Washington, this is an open invitation for all of you as well. I would love to have
Naima
everyone.
Naima would be great.
Yeah.
Let me just specify this real quickly before we go too far afield. Even though it's called BlackMen2.com, black women, white women, white men, everyone is invited to participate. The only black men can be founding members, but everyone is invited to participate because you have black women who have black boys, who have black children. And they're concerned about the development of black males. They may see something that we miss from a different perspective. And like Naima mentioned, you know, it takes black men and women working together to build a family. You know, black boys go to jail when there are no black men around. So Everybody's invited. So please go and sign up. BlackMen2.com. You go to the website, you click the Join Us button and sign up, and we'll be in touch with you immediately.
Okay,
I
want to thank
What are you doing? What do you think about mental health? Because, you know, being living in poverty is traumatic. It's a traumatic experience.
No, that's a very important question. We have a whole lineup on healthcare. And Dr. Watkins, I really want to talk to you. So can I give him my number? Let me give you my number. Well, you know what? Cliff, if you'll give him my number, I'd appreciate it. And give Candace my number.
Okay.
Naima knows how to reach
you. Hey,
y'all,
Bill, unless you got to go. Unless you got to go, hang on. Doc,
okay.
Doc Washington.
Tell me,
what's the best way for us to protect ourselves with this COVID-19? Is it a hoax? Is it serious? Why is somebody laying on their deathbed talking about they don't believe in it? What is that? And now I'm gonna get with you with that too. But is this a virus? Does it exist? And how do we combat it? And if you get it, can you get it again? Answer just some of those questions as the doctor, as a chemist, and as the whole nine yards pharmacy.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, we all know that people are dying. We got 250,000, over a million people died, so we know that it's real. The fact that some people don't believe that is because they have hate in their heart, and they've been taught to hate certain races of people. So now when you got the country divided is the way it is, then you're going to have two polar opposites. One person believes one thing, the other person believes something. Now, in terms of preventing yourself from getting the virus, wearing a mask is very, very crucial. And I recommend that if you're able to, don't just wear the designer mask or the mask that goes with your outfit. Purchase you a KN95, the type of mask that I gave you, Cliff. I say again, those are called KN95 masks. They've been shown to be the most effective preventing the virus. Those other masks are made of cloth material, and the virus can get through there, and you can give it to someone else. Of course, social distancing is very important because you got to limit your access to people to just a small group. So if somebody does contract the COVID, you have an idea of how to trace back to where you possibly would have gotten it from, as well as washing your hands. You know, I sanitize my hands when I go in the store. I even wear gloves. That's one thing that I've noticed that they haven't been talking about lately is wearing gloves. I wear latex gloves when I go in the store, and you know, the grocery store, wherever I go where I'm touching items that everybody has touched. Actually, I was a pharmacist at Walmart last year, and I got laid off. But then when the virus broke out, two of the guys that I used to eat lunch with every day, they passed from COVID. So it's a blessing God moved me from there into the position that I'm in now. Like I said, it's real. Once you get on the ventilator, what happens is the virus begins to build up mucus in your lungs. And so there's small little grapes at the bottom of your lungs called alveoli, and those things happen to open and close and exchange the carbon dioxide with good oxygen. And so when that mucus gets thick, your lungs cannot filter the good oxygen, and that's why they put you on the ventilator. And unfortunately, once you get on the ventilator, that's bad. That's bad. Most people don't come back when they get on the ventilator because their body is not breathing and it's not working. And of course, we have underlying conditions like you talked about earlier, diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol, all those things come into play when your body immune system cannot deal with all those variables. You know, you got to get your rest, eat your vitamins, or I should say take your vitamins, vitamin C, your B complex, echinacea, zinc. All those are very good to help keep your immune system strong. That's the most important
thing
that you can do.
Say it one more time. Say it. Doc, say those things one more time. What are those things that you take?
Okay, you want to take your multivitamins. You want to take echinacea with golden seal. You can buy that at any store, any pharmacy you go in. It's a combination of echinacea with golden seal, and also you want to take zinc. And then also, a lot of times what we don't do, we got to go get our physicals every year. You got to check and see what your values are, what your creatinine clearance, all of those things are important in terms of, like, if you're low on, like my mother-in-law, her potassium was low. So she was real sluggish. She wasn't moving around. She's 83. She gets around well, but her potassium was low, and so that caused her to be fatigued and not be in her right mind. So it's important to get your annual physical and check your lab values and see where your potassium, magnesium, all those things are very crucial to help your immune system be strong, to help fight off all kinds of viruses, not just the corona.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Doc. Are we rounding the corner, or are we still in the midst of it?
We are definitely in the midst of it, because what happens is over this time, I think we're like in the eighth or ninth month of COVID, and so you got what's called COVID fatigue. People are tired of being in the house. They're tired of wearing the mask. But the same thing, you put your seatbelt on, even though you're tired, you still got to keep your mask on. So I think that's what's affecting a lot of people. And also, businesses are going under because they don't have patrons to patronize their business, and they're going out of business. So they're saying, well, I might as well take a chance on dying versus just not opening up my restaurant or my business. So it's a very, very tricky situation in terms of trying to stay afloat economically but then still be healthy at the same time. So it's important that they're about to come out with these personal COVID tests. And those should be available soon. I know Pfizer has the first vaccine, and Moderna is going to come out with the other one. So it's kind of scary. I was looking at a statistic last week that said that only 70% of first-line doctors said that they would take the vaccination, and only 40 to 60% of the nurses that are on the front line will take the vaccine. So it's a little fear factor going on. So I think it's going to take a while before we get this virus under control.
Wow. Okay. Candace.
Let me. Can I say
you
one
know,
more thing?
Everybody can say something.
Let me just say one more thing. When we were talking about the black men and the plight that we're under, when I used to be the president of the local school council of my daughter's high school, I found out that they're building prisons, and this was 6 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, that they're building prisons based on black young men's fourth grade Iowa test scores. I'll say that again. They're building prisons based on black men's fourth grade Iowa test scores. If you think about it, if you don't have a good education, you can't go out here and get a job because you're smoking weed. The only option is to go to jail or die. So we have to change that narrative for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that one as well, because that is the plan that other people have for us, but we have to choose a plan that we have, and that's one of the reasons why we're actually hosting, and I'm going to be inviting a number of people that are on this show to our second Global Peace Summit, and that'll be on Saturday, December 26th, which happens to coincide with the first day of Kwanzaa, which is unity. Umoja, but we have people from around the world who are doing some of the great work that you're doing in terms of organizing and educating. And Doc, we definitely want you to be a part of that. We have solutions that are out here that people are implementing, and we just need to connect the dots. We just need to know what each other is doing. We just need to form coalitions and a support network, because we don't have to allow other people's plans to come into fruition. Just because they're building those jails don't mean we have to allow them to be filled with us. And one of the things we know is crucial is that we rebuild the foundation, which is our families, and therefore we can protect our children by raising them in safe, secure, healthy families where there is a mother and a father and protection and support and guidance. That's what's missing, and men and women have to do it together. We have to work together and repair the damage that's been done to our families so that we can stop this plan that's in motion for our children to end up filling these jails and making profits for those who have invested in the prison system. And I believe we can do that.
Okay, let me have the floor for a minute. Monique, is she on the line, Monique? Candace, you know Monique.
Yeah, well, let's see. Monique, caller 0449. You're on the show. Monique, if you're on the air, press 1. If you're on the line, press 1. Okay. Well, I mean, if she's here, she'll press,
okay.
You know, she'll let us know.
All right. Well, listen, first of all, this whole thing is spiritual. I'm you all owe me. That's the only way I can do it. You all owe me. Okay? Listen. I have this radio show. I want y'all to understand this. I have a radio show that goes all over the world. I have people like you all that can come on this platform and talk to these people. We got to keep this going.
Yep.
We can't be no VON and just with commercials and this and that. We need to be talking about issues. I am totally blessed that I've had the people on my show tonight that I have on my show. And we're talking about things that are happening to our people. That's what it's all about, man. How do we survive this? How do we come out of this? How do we start loving one another? Okay? How can you dare go to Maudia's house and you know last night you went to a super set and everybody in there was up against each other with no mask and now you've been to go to Maudia's house for dinner? Come on. You don't love her knowing that she's got all these problems? Okay? So I'm saying that. Let me tell you what happened to me. I had some very serious surgery 3 years ago. And by me being as popular as I was in the recovery, in the nursing rehabilitation thing, and people were coming in by the drove. They could tell by the people, the way they dressed, that they were coming to see me. You're only supposed to have 2 people in your room. I had 7, 8, 9, 10 sometimes. But the rest of those people never had nobody come to see about them. And I said, when I get out of here, I'm going to form me an organization, and we're going to have the sole purpose of just visiting these homes and talking to these people. The doctor then did all he can do. It's just a little company. How about going to a guy's room? Hey, man, I heard you went to Tilden. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like me and you, Doc. We know each other, but when we say blue and gold, that tightens us up.
That's
and then on top of that, I know your mother separately. And then on top of that,
that's
I know
you.
Your father separately. I ran up behind your father. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He threw me out the tornado lounge because he said, boy, you ain't old enough to be in here. Your daddy. You see? Those were men, man. Those were men. And your mother, she worked with one of the most wealthiest black men in Illinois. Okay?
Yep.
I know for a fact that that's his right arm right there. You see what I'm saying? So what I really want to say here is that I have a nonprofit organization called National Betterment Association. Anybody that wants, they can use that organization for anything that you want to do if it's pertaining to children and seniors. I'm making that available to everybody. You dig what I'm saying? I got all the paperwork, all this filed, everything is in order. And I'm just saying, if you got an idea, if you're trying to get some grants written, any of those things, and you need an organization, there it is. I think the law says that if you use an organization, if you use my nonprofit, you have to donate 10% to me. So that's 90% of whatever you're trying to get, you can get. Just give me that 10% to keep it going. Okay? Now, here's the next thing. They are creating a TV show for me. Now, can you imagine if we were sitting around a round table? Because they say I'm going to be the next Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's going to be Mr. Cliff's neighborhood. And so we're going to sit around a round table, and we're going to talk about things. Can you imagine, guys, if we were sitting right now round table, the type of people we have on this show right now talking about it, that we have an audience all over the world? Mayor Lightfoot, you keep hiring. Listen, let me tell you something. They spend $9 million, I ain't going to quote the figure because that'll scare you, on violence prevention. They ain't stopped nothing. I've been in these streets of Chicago. I just told you, your daddy threw me out of the joint. I went to 17. I've been in these streets all my life. I ran every big joint in the neighborhood. Sweet Georgia Brown, Dating Game, Flukey's, Tiger Lounge. I ran all the nightclubs. You couldn't come through Chicago and didn't know me. Okay?
Right.
And then I look up and see where the next, every time she hires somebody, I never heard them before. Who are these people? Where are you getting them from? You know, one of the first questions I asked back with old Mayor Daly, they had a Mexican in charge of snow removal. I said, well, how that make sense? When he saw something white, he thought it was cotton. That nepotism stuff. And that, I'm trying to tell you, man. Hey, man, we have to take a vote. Right now, I'm a stepper. Steppers are 10,000 strong. While y'all out there stepping, one of your grandkids is getting killed. Okay, let's become politically correct. From now on, if you want to run for political office, you got to meet with us. Find out if we're going to co-sign you or not. It's just that simple. There's no longer them choosing who our leaders are. We choose our own leaders. We choose our own leaders. It don't have to be neither one of us, but we got the ear. The Bible says seek the elders. Seek the elders. We should be preparing our children. It's a statistical fact that the death of a founder of a black business is the death of a business. When you talk about Al Johnson Cadillac, now his son is working where his daddy used to own. South Sheen product gone. Ebony magazine gone. What else? I could just go on and on with these black businesses that I watched these men, because I was out here in the late 60s and I watched all these men like your dad and all them, Bob Hughes, the Real Movers and all those guys, created their business and became successful. And then there's none of them in nowhere in sight. We have to be more prevalent about who runs our community. What about us? What's in it for us? What do we get out of this? Why do I get a dollar and he getting 10,000? And I'm supposed to be happy? No, that's, you know, and this city council we got. If 10 black aldermen were standing on the corner and the light turned green, 6 of them wouldn't even go across the street because he didn't want to walk with the other one. I'm going to tell you another story about, and listen, I'm a street nigga. I ain't got no education. But I'm going to tell you another story about Shakespeare and Polonius. Polonius had 7 sons. Okay? When those boys became of age, he took them out in front of the house and he picked up a stick and he broke it. Then he picked up 7 sticks and he bound them together and he tried to break them and he couldn't break them. He was trying to show his sons that if y'all stick together, y'all can't be broken. Black people, stick together, you can't be broken. What's in it for us? You're not going to be down in no sewer working on no sewer line and you ain't my color. That's not going on. That's not going on. Where's my people at? Try to go over to Bridgeport and have an all-black crew over there, see how long you'll be over there. When the last time you seen a black policeman write a white man a ticket? He better call for assistance. They're not putting no handcuffs on no white man. And then this white boy here just killed 2 people and just got out on $1 million cash bond. Just got out on $1 million cash bond. But guess 2 million. Guess who put the money up? Guess who put the money up? The white boy that makes the pillow. The white boy that makes the pillow that is supposed to be so nice. He put the money up on Trump supporter.
Yeah, my pillow man.
Hey, man, let me tell you something.
I've got to leave. I got to go, and we're about to do our Sunday evening female solution, Soul Purpose Healing, with our host, Diada, out of Florida. And she's, of course, talking about this spiritual battle that we're in right now. So feel free to call in.
Yeah.
We started at 7 p.m. Central Time, at, of course.
Put that number out there, baby. Put that number out there.
515-605-9325.
Okay, I want to thank you. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I think we about at the end of our show. What a show, what a show, what a show.
Time flies.
What a conversation, what a conversation, what a conversation. So listen, December 10th, we're shooting the pilot for the TV show. Everybody on the show got to be involved with that. We got to make that be so hot that the other TV networks have got to want to pick it up. And here's the thing, everybody's looking for shows. I haven't even told you all about the fact that Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank had hollered at us and trying to do some work with us. So everybody got to bring their skills together, and let's do that pilot, and then we're going to shop it around. Okay,
right,
so with that, Dr. Washington, man, you my guy. Doc Walls, blue and gold forever.
Yes, sir. Dr. Washington,
all right.
Hit my website. I want to talk to you.
And Doc, I'll be calling you real soon. I'll be calling you tomorrow, Doc, to
please
be.
Please do. I
want to
talk to you.
Yes, definitely got to. And I want to talk to you all about that meeting you all are having as well. The peace meeting with the brothers on the in the street. We need to talk about that as well and bring
absolutely
that incorporate that over.
Violence intervention.
And that's the purpose of my show. That's the purpose of my show. What you
all
guys are doing right now. We're networking
right
for real. Okay.
Networking
once again,
real,
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
From Chicago, it's just Chicago. Your host is Cliff, along with Candace, and we done it again. We're breaking records. We're breaking the ceiling, and we always got somebody that got something to say. Candace, on behalf of me and whoever else, I'm gonna bid you adieu. I'll talk to you later.
All
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right,
you won't be safe.
Put your mask on. Put your mask on.
Yeah.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All
very
right.
Nice.
Give me my theme music. Let me get out of here. Give me.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, how you doing?
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Very good show.